Normally, everybody has so much money coming in on a monthly basis. But if God blesses that, it's not the amount, it's how much has been blessed. When God blesses it, it goes further, accomplishes more, you see. That's why if we can pass it through his hands, we'll always have enough. If we don't, you better budget pretty well. You better have some restraints. But not only does he give us our needs, but many times in his mercy, he gives us our wants. So Lord, we're asking God that you'd allow our finances to pass through your hands and multiply like you did the fish and loaves. God, that we'd have an abundance, not for us, not to store, but that we could minister to others around us. And see your kingdom expand. It's all in Jesus' name. Amen. While you're standing, if you'd turn to Mark, the 16th chapter. I would think there's a lot of churches who would like to eliminate these scriptures, but it describes who we are, who the real church is. Starting in verse number 16, Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." So are you saying that baptism has something to do with salvation? Apparently, that's what Jesus said. "But he that believeth not..." Well, it doesn't really matter if you get baptized or not. "He that believeth not shall be damned." Now, if you want some evidence as to who the real believers are, it says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Lord, we ask your blessing on the word. Your power in this place, God. You're the miraculous God. We have the signs that follow us. But more importantly, we have you inside of us. We ask your blessing on the word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I just heard that they're very, very close to a vaccine for COVID-19. And that gives some people comfort. I'm not sure if it's going to be this month or next month or maybe after the election. Many countries have perhaps spent billions of dollars for finding a cure for this virus, yet they still don't know whether it really was going to be effective. It's rare that there is a total cure for any kind of virus. After many years of flu shots, they still will have a varied effectiveness. Many times it's not effective at all. But I know a God that has a cure. And God said he would heal our land if we would humble ourselves and pray. Instead of billions of dollars spent, what about billions of people praying? What if people put as much effort into getting a hold of God as they were trying to get a hold of a vaccine? You know? Verse 18 said, "They shall take up or control serpents," and that really means control the enemy or Satan. "And if they drink or absorb into their mind any deadly or poisonous thing, it shall not hurt them." This could apply to any kind of virus. We are the church. We're not like them. We're not like those who are grasping or looking for science to help them. We are the church, and if they drink or absorb anything deadly, it shall not. Those words were in red. Jesus said those. And then in Luke 10 and 18, Jesus said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread or trample on serpents or Satan and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Do you think we have power in this place? Jesus has made it pretty clear that we have all power over Satan and all of his works, and nothing by any means shall hurt us. Complete power over the enemy. We're not like other people, church. I don't want to run scared. I don't want to worry about things. I heard a report yesterday that out of 180,000 people who have died, there have been only 9,000 people who have died specifically from the COVID virus. In fact, hospitals were getting $30,000 for every person that died of COVID. So where's the incentive, you see? We don't bring snakes to church and pass them around. I guess there are some who take it literally. Satan is already here, you know. He passes through this place all the time. We just trample on him with our worship. We don't put poison into Kool-Aid to tempt God, you see. Jesus protects us from deadly thoughts so they are not absorbed into our mind. And there are terrible thoughts always available to our mind, and they shall not hurt us. Our God realizes that there are many things in this world that can hurt us, but Jesus has given us an antidote for every poison that we are exposed to, an antitoxin that prevents us from being hurt by those things. And if we drink any deadly thing, if we absorb any deadly thing, God said, it's not going to hurt you. Man tries to find an antidote for or remedy for every problem in life, mostly because man doesn't want to rely on God. They would rather rely on medicine, rather rely on lawyers, rather rely on what they can produce for themselves. Most would rather find a cure in medicine than to call on God. But then they would have to depend on God and follow God's rules. So rather than follow God's rules, I'd rather depend on something else. Like a virus, we are susceptible to invisible dangers that are around us. Your kids go to school and you're not there, but God said, I'll take care of this one. You see. And God has given us an antidote for counteracting poison. So if you'll turn to Exodus, the 15th chapter. Exodus 15 and starting in verse 23. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Many believe that word bitter means poison. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried on to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statue and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and listen to Pastor Schumacher and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So it's contingent upon, do you have faith in God or do you have faith in medicine? Are you waiting for a cure? Are you waiting for God? So the water was there, but it couldn't be they couldn't drink it because it was bitter or it had poison in it. The antibodies were not there yet. The antidote was a tree which, when cast into the water, made the water sweet. At first, we couldn't partake of the things of God because the things of God were just bitter to us. I don't want to read the Bible. I don't want to come to church. But then we went to the tree of Calvary. And now, it says in Psalms 119 and 103, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. You see, there was a time when I didn't want to grab this book. I didn't want to open this book. But now I went to the tree of Calvary, which made it sweet. It's not poison. It's a cure for me. Amen. Once we meet the cross in the water of baptism, how sweet it is. Glory to God. 2 Kings, the 4th chapter. Second Kings chapter 4, verse 38. And Elijah came again to Gilgal, and there was a dearth or a famine in the land, and the sons of the prophets were sitting before him and said unto his servant, set on the great pot and seethe pottage for the sons of the prophets. And one went out into the field and gathered herbs, and found a wild vine, and gathered thereof wild gourds, his lap full, and he came and shredded them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. So they poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass that as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot. And they could not eat thereof. But he said, then bring meal. And he cast it into the pot, and he said, pour out for the people that they may eat, and there was no harm in the pot. So what we find is there was a famine of the Word of God. And when there's a famine of the Word of God, people will grasp anything. Oh, I think I can tell you how you can get saved. I don't think this is important, you see. Wild vines, unknown gourds, you see. We all leave Sunday and Wednesday service, and we are exposed to all kinds of doctrines in daily encounters with prospective people, even so-called church people. But in the process, we can be poisoned by every wind of doctrine. There are wild vines that look like true vines, but they're poison. You know, the best lie is weaving a little bit of truth into it, you see. So we need to come to the house of the prophet, and the meal of the true word of God is the antidote to the poison. When you hear the word preached to you, yes, holiness is still important. Yes, coming to God's house is still important. Yes, this word is true. You see, then we can't be poisoned. O man of God, tell us the truth. Take a look at Numbers 21. Numbers 21, Numbers chapter 21, starting in verse number 4. And they journeyed from the Mount Horeb by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses. You notice when things aren't going well, people have to find somebody to blame. It's generally somebody who's in charge. Wherefore have we brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Even today, if you go into a doctor's office or into a hospital, you'll see that the doctor has a serpent on a pole, a signal of, "We can heal you here." Glory to God. There's always consequences for sin. And the Lord sent fiery serpents, but once they repented, God sent an antidote. There's always an antidote for what is wrong. God has them in his book. It wasn't the antidote that they wanted. You know, just like Naaman, he wanted to be healed, but he wanted the man of God to come out and just pronounce a healing, but he had to do something. He had to go into the muddy waters of the Jordan and dip 7 times before he was healed. And here, they didn't want to look at the thing that bit them. You know, in Revelation, when the vials of wrath are poured out, people still curse God and shook their fist at God. Just hard to believe. Jesus was the curse for us and was lifted up on a pole, a type and a shadow, but we must look to him for the relief of sin. But if you don't look to Jesus, a lot of people think he's the problem in their life instead of the cure. I don't want to go to church. Take a look at John 3 and 14. John chapter 3, verse number 14. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." You know what? God is the antidote for all of the trouble. We have an antidote for error, for lies, and that antidote is truth. You know, we don't have to convince people. All we have to do is give them the antidote. Here's what the Bible says. Not my opinion. Here's what the Word of God says. Lives have infected this world, folks. There are all kinds of conspiracy theories going on right now. This is going to happen, and that is going to happen. And most of them come from people who don't even know how to get saved, aren't baptized in Jesus' name, or filled with the Holy Ghost, and yet they spew this stuff out that this is going to happen. You're going to have to put a chip in you, or you're going to get something because of this virus. And what does it do? it takes away our faith. It causes people to be fearful that God isn't going to take care of them. And every time there's a scare like this, you see, you lose a little bit of your faith. You lose a little bit of your confidence with God. And that's what the enemy wants to do for us, causing people to be taken captive by the enemy. But the truth shall set you free. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. 1 John, the 4th chapter. Chapter 4, verse number 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. So if people don't know that Jesus Christ is God, should I take truth from them, counsel from them, information from them? And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. There is a spirit of Antichrist that is in this world today because of the conflicts that we are going through, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. You want an antidote? It's here. Amen. Glory to God. Some people are always battling problems in their life when there are all these answers. I've seen people battle financial problems all their life because they don't trust God with their money. No matter how hard they work or how hard they try to get ahead, they never get ahead because they don't trust God. The antidote for getting is giving. That's what the Bible says. God has an antidote for the poison that takes away from you. And like all good antidotes, it has to be swallowed. You get a prescription from the doctor, you just read the label on the bottle and then put it in your medicine jet. There's no sense in taking it. I just read it, you know. This is a good book. I read it all the time. But have you applied it? Have you swallowed some of it? You see? 2 Corinthians 9. Second Corinthians 9 and verse number 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Conversely, if you don't trust God, maybe God will take what you do have. So you finally have your ears up to listen to what he is saying. This is a blessing. This is not a curse. It's just the law of God. The enemy is here to steal and to rob all of what we have, and God's antidote and protection from this evil is giving us blessing after blessing. It won't work any other way, or God would be a liar. He wrote it down. Now, trials and temptations come to all of us. There are some people who confuse, well, you know, you're sick, so you must have done something. You're having problems in your family. You must have some problems in your life. It's Job's friends that sit around, five of them accusing Job that he, you know, I know you're in trouble because you're not good with God. Well, that's not it at all. And if you've been around for any while, you'll know that you'll have trials and there will be temptations. But God's antidote to these trials is something called faith. No, I believe God. I believe God for my healing. I believe God for my protection. I believe God for, you know, whatever I need. That faith, when God said to the centurion, I haven't seen such faith ever, you know, he gave him what he needed just like that. It was the antidote to unbelief. We receive faith only through these times of testing. And when we get through the trial, then we are found to be worshiping God and thanking him for what he's done. I've gone through this on a number of occasions, and finally, when it happens, when you see, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel, well, you just want to thank God. You just want to go into a joy breakdown. How many of us have been in that tight spot, and through faith, we endured, we trusted God, we weren't moved, we kept faithfulness, and when the trial passed, we were found praising and giving God all of the glory. 1 Peter, I know a lot of scripture tonight. 1 Peter 1, very familiar, and verse number 6, it says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. I guess we've all been there. Why, God? That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Glory to God. So we just stay faithful regardless of where we're at. Because what other options do we have, folks? Is it going to get better if we don't? One of the most comforting scriptures that I've seen is in 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. First Corinthians 10:13. Paul says to the church at Corinth, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. So you can never say, God, it was just too much for me. It's like going into a burning building and right in front of you is this huge door that God opens that you can run through, or you can stay in a building, burning building, you see. God also has an antidote for pride. When we think we are somebody, God just holds our nose and forces us to swallow the antidote for pride. God wanted to use Paul in a greater capacity than others. And because of that, he suffered more than other people, but Paul had to go through God's 12-step program of humility because God didn't want the revelation and the power that he had to go to his head and finally claim it for himself. Look what I have done. I can count at least six preachers who have lost out with God because they were so gifted in preaching. God had to make sure that he didn't glory in his revelation. And God gives people certain talents and abilities that not everyone gets. You have to understand that we're not all created equal. We don't have all the same abilities and talents, and that's why we don't compare ourselves among ourselves, because that just isn't wise. God, well, you're not the same member of the body, and so some members are more visible than others. But then God must administer an antidote to pride that people wouldn't desire to glory in their abilities. And we all must be careful not to glory in our flesh, or God has to step in with another antidote. Do you have a problem, a poison in your system tonight? Do you need an antidote? Do you need something that will countermand what's going on in your mind or even in your body? God has an antidote for everybody. If any be sick, let him pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. The antidote. If we have sinned, the antidote is found in 1 John 1 and 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus has a poison hotline. What happened to you? Well, here it is. Here's the poison hotline. God can take care of it. Amen. Call him in the middle of the night. He'll give you the antidote. He can help you where no one else can help you. He is the greatest of all. It's the tree that fell in the water and took bitter water and made it sweet. Calvary, the antidote for all sin, for all men, and the path to everlasting life. When I first came into the church, there was a big deal with Jimmy Jones and all these people who took Kool-Aid and it was poison. They died. I remember my parents saying, "That's the same kind of church you're in, you know." No, Dad. No, Mom. No, see, we're established by the Word of God, you see. But we take the living water, and it becomes sweet to us, and it becomes a protection, it becomes a healing. Every time you come to church, there is something within the message or something in the song service that ministers to you and relieves you of the poison that has been deposited by this world, by the media, by people on the job. Get me to the doctor. Get me to the place where I can get the antidote. Hallelujah. So I finally get some peace. So I finally get some sleep. Tonight, those of you who have trouble sleeping, I declare in Jesus' name that you're going to have a great night's sleep, and you're not going to have any pain. And tomorrow, the job is going to be better than you can imagine, because you're putting your trust in God. He's got the antidote for it. Hallelujah. And if you could just swallow the preaching tonight, not just put it on the side for future consideration, but swallow it, because it is the prescription that every one of us needs. Would you stand with me, please? Glory to God. I don't know. There's literally billions of dollars that have already been spent trying to find a vaccine for this virus. Is it politically motivated? I don't know. Maybe this will all end on the 4th of November. Has this country been made scared stiff that we lose our finances, we lose our freedom, we lose our faith? But Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you relied on him when you got the Holy Ghost, you can rely on him tonight to take care of your situation. Amen. The altar is open. Would you come?